Well, church family, good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday. I can honestly say that I never thought that I would be sitting in our living room on an Easter Sunday morning, but here we are. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still risen and we still serve a risen Savior. I don't know about you, I love superhero movies, so don't judge me yet, but I just get so captivated in the story, and I think there's something inside of each of us that longs for what's wrong to be made right. And so a lot of these superhero movies kind of has the same storyline, and that is that there's people that get in trouble, and there's a bad guy of some sort that is wreaking havoc on the city or on the area, and then suddenly a savior comes, a superhero comes to save the day. So one of my favorite superhero movies of all time is actually a series of movies called The Avengers. And if you've ever seen them, they're pretty captivating. And so basically this past year, one of the last movies that got released was called Avengers Infinity War. And it all built up to this one major villain called Thanos. And he's, again, wreaking havoc. And so as the movie's unfolding, the superheroes are left at the end of it just completely and utterly defeated. And then what's crazy is, to my amazement, I'm sitting in the movie theater and then the credits start rolling. And I'm thinking, whoa, hang on. It can't end this way. You don't end a movie with the superheroes laying on the ground in defeat. But yet that's how the story, at least at that time, ended. That's kind of how Good Friday leaves us, where you think about the followers of Jesus, where they saw him crucified on a cross and then laid in a tomb, and that's it. You know, credits are rolling, and for most of them, their lives are completely and utterly devastated at what has happened on the events of that Friday. Well, fast forward a little bit later in this movie, another Avengers movie releases, and this is like the final of all movies. And again, in that movie, Thanos is wreaking havoc, and they have this difficulty overcoming him until the very end, when all these superheroes come together. This magnificent scene where Thanos is standing, thinking that he's got victory, and then at the very last moment, with the snap of a finger, he is completely and totally and finally defeated. And that's what we get to celebrate at Easter, or not just Easter, but every single day of our lives, that the greatest enemy of our lives, sin and Satan, has been totally and finally defeated. And so this morning we get to sing and celebrate all that Christ has done for us. And so this morning we're going to take a journey from the cross to the grave. And as we do so, as we get this journey started, let's get a glimpse of what led up to this point.
Lahu Damesh Hana Hayau Le Ahodo
Datmarlan Inanatu Mashicha Bara de Haleha
Anea Na.
Good fire!
Good fire!
Good fire! Good fire! Good fire! Good fire! Good fire! Good fire!
Of Danny!
Ashlam.
So these past several weeks, we've been walking through a series that we've called Words from the Cross, looking at the seven statements, the seven words that Jesus speaks as he's hanging on the cross. Today, this morning, we're going to finish up that series with one final word that Jesus speaks down from the cross, and it's found in the Gospel of John. So if you got your copy of God's Word, you can go ahead and turn to John chapter 19. And beginning in verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, 'I thirst.' And a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on the hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit." Jesus spoke in that last moment of his life what I think is probably the most powerful, most profound word that has ever been spoken. In English, it's three words. We say, "It is finished." But in Greek, it's written in one word, and that word is tetelestai. It is finished. It literally means it is finished, complete, paid in full. And what Jesus is saying on that cross is huge for us. And so what I want us to do the next few minutes is look at the significance of that one word, tetelestai, and what that means for you and for me today. I want you to notice first what he did not say. Jesus didn't say, "I'm finished," or "I'm done." He said, "It is finished." So last week I was on a run, and I'm not a very good runner, just so you know. And I'm currently a little bit more out of shape. And so I was trying to run the normal distance that I would normally run. I got to about 2 miles. I'm just telling you, my body just gave up. It was just done. And I was still trying to keep running. My mind, I'm telling my body, "Keep going, keep going, keep going." My body just said, "No, no, no, you're not going anywhere. I'm done." I remember trying to come around that last corner towards my house, and I just couldn't go anymore. And so I just literally just said, "That's it. I'm done." "I'm done" says, "I've done all that I can do, and that's it." But what Jesus said was, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm done. Now I've done my part. Now you have to do the rest." He didn't say, "I've done all that I can do. I can't do anymore." Jesus said, "It is finished." That means everything that there is to be done to accomplish salvation and redemption for you and me, Jesus said, "It's done. It's complete. It is paid in full." So there's a big difference between Jesus saying, "It is finished," and me saying, "Oh no, I'm done. I can't do anymore. I can't go any further." So I want to do this. I want to look at some of the ways in which that word tetelestai was used in Jesus's day, and to help us as a way to understand, I think, fully grasp and appreciate all that is being said here in this moment. So a couple ways that it's being used. It was used in art. And so there would be a sculptor or a painter, and as he was preparing his masterpiece, and as he was finally putting the finishing touches on everything, putting the finishing touches on the statue or the finishing touches on the picture, when it was completely and totally and finally done, the artist or the sculptor would look at it and step back, and he would declare, "Tetelestai. It's done. It's complete. It's completely finished." Another way that it has been used is in the temple place. And so priests would actually use this word when they were making preparations and they were looking to find the spotless animal or lamb that would be ready for the sacrifice. And when they would find that lamb that was finally completely ready and prepared, they would say over it, "Tetelestai, it's ready, it's fulfilled, it's complete, it's ready to be used for the sacrifice." It was also thirdly used in the marketplace. And so you would have merchants and tradesmen. And so when someone would go to, say, purchase a piece of property, and there would be a deed that would be set up for the purchase of this property. And when finally that deed was paid in full, they would stamp across that deed and it would say, "Tetelestai," paid in full, it's finished. Or when somebody would incur some sort of debt, there would be a document that would detail the debt that they owed. And then when that debt was completely satisfied and fulfilled and paid, they would stamp "Tetelestai" over top of that debt, saying it's paid in full. In fact, this is really cool. In recent years, there was archaeologists that were doing a dig in Egypt. And during their dig, they actually uncovered an ancient office space that they assumed would belong to some sort of accountant of some sort. Well, as they found in his office space, they found all sorts of documents and manuscripts, and they also found stacks of bills, ancient bills. And what was so cool is that across each one of those bills was the word "Tetelestai," "Tetelestai," literally paid in full. Now, finally, it was said that it was used in the prisons. And here's kind of what that would look like. When a Roman citizen would be convicted of a crime, he would be thrown into a Roman prison. And above his prison cell, they would take a certificate of debt, it was essentially called, and they would nail it above the jail cell where that person was, so that anyone who would walk by would look and see that document, could see fully what they were charged for and what they were serving their time in prison over, the crimes that they had committed. But what's so cool is that when that person, that prisoner, had fulfilled all of their time there in jail and they were finally released, they would take the record, the transcript that was above them and above their door, above their cell door, and they would take it and they would stamp across it the words "Tetelestai," paid in full, so that they were then released and they were now free. But here's what's so cool. Not only were they free to leave prison, they were then given their own certificate that they could take with them. So that in the moment that they're walking along the street and someone were to approach them and say to you, what are you doing? No, I know you were in prison because you committed this crime or you did that. They could look to those people and say, yeah, you're right. I did commit those crimes, but it's been paid in full. "Tetelestai" has been written on my record. I hope you know where I'm going with this, because Jesus has literally stamped "Tetelestai" over top of the record of wrongs that you and I have that stands against us and opposed to us. In fact, Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 2. So Colossians chapter 2, if you look at verse 13, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses," verse 14, "by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, and he set it aside, nailing it to the cross." Do you see that picture? You see what Jesus has done? The enemy will come and he'll say, "I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know all the wicked thoughts and all the wicked deeds that have gone through your mind and the things that you have done. And I know what you deserve." But Jesus Christ, with his death on the cross, has accomplished for us, literally stamped on your life and mine as followers of Jesus, paid in full. It's over. It is done. There is nothing else that has to be done to secure our redemption and our salvation. It's all been done, accomplished, paid in full by Jesus. So when we look at that one word, "Tetelestai," paid in full, there's so much that is bound up in what he has done. And so I want to look at just three simple implications of what this means for your life and mine because of what Jesus has done for us. Implication number one, what does it mean that Jesus Christ has literally, when he said, it is finished, to tetelestai, paid in full, what does that mean then for you and for me? Number one, it means that sin is atoned for. That means that the wrath of God that justly and rightly stood over us and against us, the wrath that you and I were under because of our sin, has now been completely and totally satisfied. Listen to me. On the cross of Jesus, our sins were not pushed aside, and the wrath of God wasn't pushed aside. The wrath of God was actually poured out. But instead of being poured out on you and me because of our sin, it was poured out literally on Jesus. And that on the cross, Jesus Christ bore your sins and my sins on his body on the cross. And so when we talk about the hope that we have in Jesus, so we talk often at Hope Valley Church. We say that we want to reach our valley with the hope that is only found in Jesus. But I want to be clear about what our hope is, right? So what we're not saying is that, we're not saying that when you trust in Jesus, that everything is suddenly in your life going to be good again, and that suddenly your 401k is going to have massively rebounded, and that you're going to be have no worries anymore. We're not saying that when you trust in Jesus, that suddenly you're not going to have any more health difficulties, or you're not going to have any more family problems. We're not saying that suddenly you're going to have everything that you, all of your wildest dreams come true. What we're saying is that our greatest problem that stood opposed to us and stood against us at that one moment on the cross has been completely and totally and finally taken care of. You see, the biggest problem that we have is not relationships or financial problems. The biggest problem, the fundamental problem that you and I have is sin. And that is that we have all rebelled against the holy God, and we are all accountable for that sin. So that is our greatest problem that all of us are facing, and that our valley literally right now is facing. The biggest problem isn't COVID-19. The biggest problem is sin. And so what we get to celebrate when Jesus Christ declares to tell us that it's finished is that our greatest fundamental problem has now been completely taken care of, paid in full. And that's what we get to celebrate. Number two, the second implication is that Satan is defeated. So not only is sin completely atoned for, but now our greatest enemy, Satan, has been completely defeated. You see, on that Friday, he stood declaring, screaming out in victory, thinking, I've done it. Right? Jesus is gone. He's dead. We are victorious over him. But little did he know, he had already lost. When Jesus went to that cross, he was already victorious over sin and Satan. Satan just didn't know it yet. In fact, even on Sunday morning, Satan's still standing thinking that he's got victory. But little does he know what is about to happen when Jesus stands victorious, risen over Satan. Number three, the third implication is that our salvation is secured. Our salvation is secured. What Jesus says on the cross, when he says tetelestai, it is finished, it means there's nothing else that you or I can add to that. Right? I can't try to add efforts and good works and say, okay, well, if I work hard enough, then God's gonna love me more. No, that's not it. Jesus did everything for us. There was nothing good that we had to offer God. There was no righteousness that we had. And so on the cross, Jesus, being perfectly righteous, took our sins on himself. And so then when he paid for those things on the cross, God the Father looks down on the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Son of God, and our sin is completely and totally atoned for by Jesus, and our salvation is now completely, eternally secure. We don't have to worry. You don't have to wake up wondering, are my sins forgiven? If you've placed your faith in Jesus, then that is a once and for all and forever event. That you are now safe and secure, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for you and for me. So those three implications stand because of what Jesus, when Jesus declares it is finished, tetelestai, that means that our sin is atoned for, that Satan is defeated, and our salvation is finally secure. There's nothing left for you and I to do. So now let's take a look at what happens next. Luke 24, verse 1 says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." You can only imagine what they would have thought and what would have gone through their mind as they went to the tomb and they realized the stone had been rolled away and Jesus' body wasn't there. They already had been in mourning for days, and if you can imagine the pain and the grief that they are walking through in that moment, only to find that the body of their Savior had been taken or stolen or something had happened to it. And so you can only imagine the emotion that they were feeling in that moment. And it says, "While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest." You hear the words of the angels that gave their testimony about what had truly happened to Jesus, that Jesus had already told them this was going to happen. So they said, "Remember what he told you was going to happen, that this had to happen, that he had to be beaten, that he had to be, that he had to suffer, and that ultimately he had to die." And then in that moment, it's like the blinders are taken off and they begin to fully see and understand what Jesus was doing. It says they remembered. They remembered the words of Jesus. They remembered all the times that they had heard him teaching and all the things that he had taught. And as they remembered and as they reflected on that, I can only imagine the sense of joy that would have come from that. That realization that there was a plan in all this. Like God had a plan, a specific purpose in all of these events that had taken place. And even a plan in the death of Jesus Christ. And that plan was that he was making all things new, that he was bringing and drawing people to himself, and that through the resurrection of Jesus, that he is no longer dead, and that we, this is our hope. Our hope is that there's an empty tomb, that Jesus' body is not there. He has risen. He is alive. I could listen to the words as the rest of the disciples hear what has happened. So verse 36, "As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and they were frightened because they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you so troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? He gave them, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate before them. And then he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So Jesus enters into the room physically, and they see him face to face, and they see the nail prints in his hands, and they see the wounds in his feet, and they realize that this is the risen Savior, and they marvel and they worship. And then Jesus gives them this charge that this truth, this gospel, is now to be proclaimed throughout all nations. And so then these men and women that were gathered in that room would then go out and echo forth throughout the known world at that time that Jesus is alive. And most of them would actually die and give their lives for what they knew was true, what they saw with their eyes, that the same Jesus who was crucified on a cross just 3 days later rose again from the grave and is alive today. And that's the same good news that we celebrate on Easter and every single day. It's the hope that we have in the gospel. It's the hope that we proclaim to the New River Valley and throughout the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross saying with one word, it is finished. There's nothing else for you to do. Sin has been atoned for. Satan has been defeated, and salvation is secure in Christ. And so the good news, the gospel, is summed up in one of the most well-known verses in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, or God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, anyone, everyone who would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what hurts and you have or what brokenness you bring to the table. But I do know that there is hope. There is hope because there is a God who loves you so much that he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. There's hope because he was buried and then 3 days later, he rose again. There is hope for you. And it starts with you making that decision to cry out to a holy God for mercy. Will you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I thank you that for Easter, I thank you that we get to celebrate this day and every day your resurrection from the dead. Lord, I pray right now that if there's somebody watching who has not yet made that decision to trust and follow after you, God, would you, by your Holy Spirit, draw them to you? Would they, the best that they know how, from the bottom of their heart, would they cry out to you for love and forgiveness and for mercy? And Lord, I pray that maybe like the tax collector in the temple, they would cry out to you, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, thank you for the celebration that we have in you. Thank you that our sins are paid in full, and we rest in that truth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We would love to connect with you. If you're watching, maybe you're a guest, thank you for joining us today and celebrating with us. Maybe you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus. We would love to walk you through that. Maybe you want to pray with someone, or you want somebody to reach out to you. If you don't mind just connecting with us, there's a way that you can click a button right now just to ask for prayer. You can make a commitment to follow Jesus, and then we can follow up with you on what that decision looks like. So thank you for joining us this morning as we celebrate our risen Savior.